Why did Jesus come? Luke 19:10, Jesus, for I have come to seek and save the lost. Did Jesus come to this world the first time? Did he come to condemn this world? No, John 3:17, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of 2 Timothy today. In a world filled with false teachers and growing hostility towards the gospel, Paul calls Timothy and us to stand firm. He calls us to fan the flame, the gift of God, a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Let's join Pastor for the conclusion to the message, Nevertheless.
Oh, listen, eternal death no longer exists to a believer in Christ. Let me give you these scriptures. I know you know them. Hebrews 2:9. Let me read it to you. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and listen for the purpose, for the suffering of death, meaning he took our place on the cross, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory, honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That means every person that has ever lived on this planet. He tasted everyone's death on the cross. Listen, I want you to listen again. In Hebrews 2:9, it didn't say death. It said suffering of death. This is more than when they scourged him. And they beat our Lord. And they put the spear in him and the crown of thorns and all the things that they did, and they crucified him. This is more. The suffering of death is more than that. What that literally means is this, that Jesus on the cross, the suffering of death was when he tasted, he experienced whatever death is. Meaning the full extent, the complete full, whatever death is, he tasted all of it for everyone. And not only that, we kept reading in Hebrews 2:14, I believe it is. It says, and Jesus destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. Now listen, for a Christian to fear death means you're looking at the part that belongs to the lost, not to the believer. Amen? Oh, listen, everything that death is to the believer has been done away with. It's inoperative. It means this, death cannot touch you. Do you really believe that? It cannot touch you. Well, Bill, listen, I'll tell you what, when you're dead, you can see you're dead. No. Mm-mm. Death cannot, I love it. See, you don't have to be afraid of dying because you're not going to die. You have eternal life. You'll never be separated from God. Does that make sense? Never. I mean, you will never be separated. Listen, what did Paul write in 1 Corinthians 15:55? Oh, death, he says, where is thy sting? Where is it? He said, where is it at? Well, death has lost its sting. You're not going to feel a thing. Do you understand? You're not going to feel any of it. You're just going, well, Bill, no, I saw that casket. I've seen what the, no. To be absent from the body, present with the Lord. The moment, listen, if I fell over right now, don't you weep. Don't, you know, well, you probably, no. Listen, here's what's going to happen. Jesus, is that me? Oh, hallelujah. Do you understand? Yes. I mean, I will never, the Christian, never. Let me give you one more. Jesus said in John 8:51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. You won't even taste it. You won't see it. You won't even feel it. You understand? And I go, oh, Lord, you are so good. What did Paul say again? Of course, you quote Paul, you nearly all the New Testament, right? Romans 8:38. I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life goes on through shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen to me. Abolished means that death for the believer is now unemployed. He can never hurt you, harm you. You'll never taste it. You'll never see it. Why? Well, because what Jesus told John the apostle on the island of Patmos. Remember what he did? All of a sudden, John the apostle, he sees the Lord and he's afraid. He falls on his face. Jesus reached down and said, "Oh, don't be afraid, John." He says in Revelation 1:18, "For I am he who lives. I was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore." And he goes, "And I have the keys to hell," or the keys to Hades, that unseen realm of the dead. "I have the keys of Hades. And not only that, I have the keys of death." He has the authority. Listen, we must never fear what Jesus Christ has conquered. Amen? We never need to be afraid of that. No, man, listen, Jesus is the only one who has that authority and can claim that authority on earth. So Paul the apostle now, he moves away from the work of Christ there in verse 11 to his calling. And he tells Timothy, he says, "Timothy," he says, "to which I was appointed a preacher." A preacher of the greatest news on this planet. He says, "Not only that, I was appointed an apostle, and I was appointed a teacher of the Gentiles." Who appointed Paul? Jesus, on the Damascus Road, appeared to him and saved him. And then he got full of the Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing that Jesus chose Paul? Paul didn't choose Jesus. Do you know that Jesus chose you? You didn't choose him. Oh, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Jesus, what did John, he said in John 15:16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit." Amen? He picked you. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, "Jesus picked me"? How, you got to be kidding? Come on. He picked us. He chose us. And Paul writes in verse 12, watch this now. He says, "Timothy," he tells us today, Paul's in heaven with the Lord. He says, "For this reason, I also suffer, Timothy. I suffer these things." Had I penned that verse, you know what I would have said? I would have said, because Paul had served the Lord for over 30 years, faithfully served the Lord. You know what I would say? I'd say, "I served you for 30 years, Lord. I was faithful to you. I even said for me to live is you, Christ, to die is gain. Is this the way you're going to reward me at the end of my life?" Come on. That's not what Paul said. He says, "Timothy, I want you to listen to me." He says, "I want you to know the reason I suffer these things. I want you to know the reason that I'm on death row at the Mamertine prison. I want you to know why I'm about to be executed by Nero. And here's the reason." He just told us. He said, "For I am a preacher. I was appointed a preacher to preach the very truth of God, to share the good news with the world. And not only that, I'm an apostle. I'm one that is sent. I'm under the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a bondservant." That word means I'm a doulos, a slave. My will is now swallowed up in the will of my Savior. Whatever he wants, that's what I will do. "Timothy, I'm waiting to be executed." You know why? He says, "Because I teach the only good news that can set a man free from death and hell and sin." He said, "That's why I'm suffering these things." Man, I tell you, when I get to this part, I turn into a sissy. I mean, it just, I love Paul. I love every word that he says, every word that he penned. What would you be writing about if you knew in 2 days you were going to be gone? What would you be telling your loved ones? He says to Timothy, "Nevertheless," nevertheless, say that word, "nevertheless, in spite of it all, Timothy, in spite of everything that I'm facing, hey, I'm not ashamed." Paul, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." He said, "I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Christ." We covered that in verse 8. He says, "Listen, I'm not ashamed that I am in the Mamertine prison, this rat infested, this vile dungeon filled with the smell of the sewage of Rome," and that's what was there. He says, "In spite of all this, nevertheless, Timothy, I have absolutely no regrets about anything." Why? Look what he says. "For I know whom I have believed." He knows. Do you know? Christian, do you know who you believed in? He says, listen, the word "know" there in the Greek is gnosko. It's not talking about Jesus 101 or a bunch of facts and all of that. It's talking about I know Jesus, the Son of God. I know God revealed in Jesus. I know Him passionately, personally, intimately. I know Him. I know in whom I've believed, and He has changed my life. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. When everybody else left me, when we get to chapter 4, you know, over in verse 17, we'll find out, loved one, listen, everybody left Paul, but Paul says, the Lord stood with me. It is my last defense when I was standing before Nero. That's what he's talking about. He says, at my last defense, Timothy, my Savior, the one I've believed in, He stood with me. And look what he says, and I am persuaded. That means Paul says, I'm convinced. I am absolutely certain that He is able. He's perfectly faithful. He's powerful enough to keep. That word means to guard. To guard me in perfect safety. To keep what I've committed or entrusted. That word means deposit. Entrusted to Him until how long? That day. What day? The day he stands before the Lord, the Bema Seat of Christ. Listen, what did Paul entrust? There's books written about that. I mean, there's such a, you could do your own study on it. The word entrust means, what did Paul deposit? I'll tell you what he deposited. He deposited his life. He deposited his past life, his present life, and his future life into the hands of the living God, didn't he? That's exactly what Paul did. He says in 2 Timothy 4:8, he says, finally, Timothy, listen, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but also all who love his appearing. So what does he tell Timothy to do? Verse 13, Timothy, hold fast with all of your might. Hold tightly, what? The pattern of sound words, which you heard from me. Now listen, the word pattern in the Greek means an outline, a sketch. Paul is saying, Timothy, the words, the gospel, the words that I gave unto you, he said, you hold them. You hold them tightly. And he says, I'm the pattern. Put it in front of you and copy me. Live like I lived and do the things that I did. And look how he said to do it. He says, this pattern, he says, that you've heard from me, do it this way. In faith, do it in love, which is in, or which is centered in, Christ Jesus, our Lord. He says, you have a duty now. I'm leaving. I'm going home. You're God's man now. And he says, just hold fast, not to all words, Timothy, but to those sound, true, living words of God. He says, that good thing, that precious thing, that excellent thing, which was committed. There's that word again. Deposited, if you will, entrusted, which was committed to you to what? Keep. That word means to guard by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So Timothy, here's the deal. The gospel. I'm going home. My departure is at hand. He says, you guard the living word of God, the things that I've given unto you. He says, don't you allow anyone to water the word of God down. Don't you let anyone to turn the word of the living God, the power of the gospel, into some anemic message. He says, Timothy, you have to fight. And there's only one way that Timothy or we can do that. How is all that accomplished? Look at the very end of the verse. It says, you do it by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who dwells in you, who dwells in us. Verse 15, quickly. And this you know, that all those in Asia, meaning the Roman province there, well, they've turned away from me. Do you think it broke Paul's heart? Of course it did. He's in prison. I can feel it. He says, they turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You want some new names for kids? There you go. We don't know anything about them except what's recorded here. And the Holy Spirit breathed on Paul, and really he's saying they should be ashamed because they've turned their backs. The Lord grant mercy, though, watch the contrast, to the household of Onesiphorus. Now, that word means help bringer. What a great name. He says, for he often, what? Refreshed me. I'm in the sewer, man, and he brought fresh air to me. He says, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain, But when he arrived in Rome, boy, he sought me out very zealously, and he found me. He searched and searched until he found Paul. And he says, the Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day, meaning at the Bema seat. And you know very well, Timothy, Paul looks back now in the past. You know very well, Timothy, how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. So Onesiphorus, what a great guy. It's a godsend. He was a breath of fresh air to Paul. Now I want you to listen very carefully to me. The epistle of Paul, 2 Timothy, his last words, the 83 verses that he penned. I think each scripture to me, all 83 of them, they speak to my heart over and over. And Paul, as you know, is awaiting execution. And remember where Paul is. He's in the Mamertine prison. He's in the lowest part, which is the dungeon. And there, and out the aquifer below, that's where the Roman sewer runs. So you can imagine the stench. Now, there's only one light in the Mamertine prison. Here's Paul in chains, and the light is way, way up the big hole in the ceiling. It's put there not just for the light to come down, a little light because of how dark it was in there, but because of the air circulation that brought air into it. Now, I want you to get a picture of Paul in that atmosphere. Do you see his chains? He's old now. He knows that it's over. Everybody is ashamed of Paul except Luke. Only Paul writes later in chapter 4, only Luke is with me. And it's probably nearly June of AD 68, the year that Paul's head was removed by Nero. Maybe he only has a few weeks, maybe only a few days to get this letter out. We're not told. But what's not written for us in Scripture that I know is there is the voice of the devil, the voice of the enemy. Because when we are down, he always comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He is merciless. He does anything he can to the believer to cause heartache. And I can hear the voice of the enemy, even though it's not recorded for us. And I can assure you that he was saying to Paul, hey, Paul, you need to take a deep, good, true, honest look at yourself. Just look at you. You trusted Jesus. You preached Jesus. And look at you now. You're nothing but a common criminal. Paul, didn't you pen, we are more than conquerors in Christ? Are you a conqueror now, Paul? Didn't you pen in Hebrews, Paul, that God would never leave you without support? That he would never relax his hold upon you? No, never, no, never, no, never. Paul, you know, your own nation turned against you. Your entire Jewish nation, they turned against you. You're nothing but an old, tired, lonely man. And you're about to die now, the cruelest of death. Your life is over, Paul, and no one cares about you. Where is your Jesus that you believe in? When I see this book, I see movies. You've heard me say that in the last 30 years. You've heard me say that probably 10 million times. But I can't help it. That's just the way God helps me because I'm not a very bright person, you know? But I see it, and I know it's not recorded, but I believe this with all my heart, because Paul was a warrior. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is no longer I who liveth. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me, gave himself for me. I see him. I see that hole. I see his chains. I see his pen. I see the parchment. And I see him slide over to get into that light. And I see him write these words. Nevertheless, in spite of it all, I'm not ashamed. Loved one, those are real words. that came from the heart of a real man. I'm not ashamed. Nevertheless, in spite of it all, in spite of everything that's happened to me, I have not one regret. I'm not ashamed of the way my life has turned out. I'm not ashamed of the man that I am in Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. I want you to listen to me very closely. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you that are listening live, listening on the radio, you that are sitting maybe outside on your patio or having breakfast or whatever you're, or in your car, if you don't know Christ, you listen. If you're here and Jesus, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about relationship. Amen. And you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't come to Jesus who loves you, who died for you, who took your place, who tasted death for you, you will not be able to say these words. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. No, I tell you that in eternity, you will have regret and you will be ashamed all of eternity. Listen to me. If right this moment, all of us had to stand up and give an account to Jesus Christ for what we have done in the last 5 days or the last 5 hours, would that bother? Would we be ashamed? Well, if you drive 820, you would be. Do you understand? Come on, be real. We're not a bunch of hypocrites, amen? He saved us, thank God. But listen to me. Imagine being ashamed all eternity, forever and ever and ever, and knowing that you could have come to Christ and didn't. But nevertheless, in spite of it all, that decision is up to you. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, Paul the Apostle says, the wages of sin is, that is eternal death, not physical death, eternal death, separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in darkness, in hell. The wages of sin, sin pays, it has a payday. But you see, Jesus, he paid for our sins. Why would anybody not come to Christ? I mean, why would you want to go to hell and pay for your sins when they've already been paid for? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life, forever and ever in Christ Jesus our Lord. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and every Christian praying, if you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, you said, save me. Then here's what you need to do. You need to lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. And just put your hand right back down. Same online. All of you, listen, anyone quickly. I'll ask my last time. If that's you, if you're unsure, you don't know, put your hand up and say, Bill, that's me. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. Then, Father, I see that everybody here must be saved, but I don't know about you that are listening live, so you pray. You ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. He will save you. He will save you in your car, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, on your patio, on your porch. Oh, ask him to come in and live. Lord God, I thank you. Nevertheless, we are not ashamed. We're not ashamed of the way our lives have turned out right now. And when we suffer, we're not ashamed, for we know who we believed in. And we're persuaded that you're able to keep us until that day. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And his church says, amen.
We pray that your time with us this week has strengthened your conviction and encouraged your heart. Join us again next week as we continue to dive into God's Word from the Epistle of 2 Timothy. Thanks for listening to the broadcast. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.